Welcome to the Tap Room Exclusive. I'm Dean Zarbaugh. I'm sitting here at Great Lakes Brewing Company with Steve Foreman. You are the Tap Room Brewmaster. What is your official title, I guess?
My official title is the Pub Brewing Manager. I'm the pub brewer.
Okay. And so what does a pub brewer entail? So you do a lot of the stuff specifically for the tap room?
Right. I do a lot of the R&D, the pub exclusives, the things you can only get at our brewery.
Okay. What have been some of the ones that have been coming through that you've worked on?
Right now we have the Cloud Cutter.
Okay.
That's out in the market. That started on our 7-barrel system in the brew pub. The Raspberry Moses we have right now.
That just came out.
Yep. That was last summer I was making that over here.
Nice.
Geez, what else? A couple others, yeah. Grandes Lagos was out last year.
Yeah, Grandes Lagos. That was one. People really loved that one. Yeah. I loved that one last year. That was a really good...
We're working on bringing it back, so...
Nice. Yeah. That wasn't a thing like, hey, wink, wink. I appreciate what you guys do. I love the idea of small batches because it gives you a taste of a bunch of cool different things.
Right.
You don't have to, it spices things up a little bit. What has been your favorite part kind of working with that system versus, and what is kind of the differences between, working with your system versus the big brewing system that they use for the full distribution?
Mine is 100% manual. If a valve's open, I'm running to that valve and opening it by hand.
Oh, wow.
We have a lot of automation across the street. Mm-hmm. And I say across the street because the production facility is across the street. It's all manual. I have no automation. If something is open, I opened it.
So you're running around a lot.
Absolutely. Up and downstairs, back and forth all day.
It's a workout.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That's what a lot of people don't seem to understand, the behind-the-scenes process is. There's a lot going on back here. There's a lot to have. And so the pilot system is it brews smaller batches of beer.
Are you talking about the new one or?
You guys just did the new one. You have the two barrel. There's the original.
Seven barrel. That's the 7-barrel is what I brew 95% of the time on.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then the 2-barrel's somewhat new. We've only got a dozen or so batches ran through that right now.
Okay.
When we have an open tank over there, I've been going over there and brewing on that.
What's been the inspiration behind getting the two barrel system?
We can get really weird. We can do things, and it's a lot easier when you have 2-barrel over 7-barrel. Seven barrels, you might make something, and it's a little strange. People aren't into it, and then that's a lot of beer to sell.
Right.
The 2-barrel is cool because we could try something. If it doesn't work, it's only 2 barrels. Also, if you do something totally out of the ordinary and it doesn't work, if it ends up going down the drain, it's not a huge loss. Yeah.
And then, but it also kind of keeps up with, the consumers who have just such a varying range of tastes from day to day.
Right.
One day it's like the hazy New England IPA. The next day it's going to be, some sort of lager.
Who knows?
With something in it. Who knows?
But, right. Right.
That gives you helps you kind of tap into, no pun intended, the consumers' heads and kind of see, they like this or they don't like that. And it kind of gives you an idea, maybe this style could be possibly moved up into a bigger production.
Right. Exactly. Like what we'll do is if it works on the 2-barrel, we'll get 4 kegs, put them on tap here at the restaurant. If that works, then maybe it'll go to the 7-barrel system. Mm-hmm. We'll brew a little bigger, see how it does, and then we can go over to the 75-barrel
system.
Gotcha.
So when did you start over here? Were you brewing before you started here?
Yeah, I was. I've been here 12 years now.
Okay.
I pretty much have done everything here.
I
was brewing at a small place out in California. I grew up here, moved out there, got a job at a brewery, worked there for a few years, came back home, and there was nothing open here. So I started as a host in the restaurant.
Oh, okay.
And just waited
your way up.
Yeah, waited for something to open up.
I mean, where in California were you living?
San Luis Obispo.
Okay, I lived in LA for a while, but I drove through there a couple times.
I was at Central Coast Brewing out there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's fun to find people who've all been to California and have made the trek back.
Right.
It's just too expensive.
Right. Yep, exactly.
The only thing that was wrong with it was just too expensive. And what was it that turned you on to beer to begin with? What made you say, you know what, I want to put malts and hops together?
I mean, I got lucky and made a friend who worked at was the beer and wine buyer for a state liquor store here in Ohio. I worked next door, and every day I'd go in after work and buy a pint bottle of Bass and a pint bottle of Guinness, and I'd go home and make a black and tan.
There you go.
And the one day I walked up, and he's like, you really like this crap? And I go, well, I'm not drinking like Bud Light or something. He's like, come here. And took me back to the cooler, gave me a mixed six pack, and said, he's like, here, just take this. Tell me what you like. That's your payment. You got to tell me what you like. I went in the next day, told him what I liked. He's like, oh, you like hops. Okay, try this, this, this. So that guy really got my palate turned on. And my interview when I went to California, like I had no brewing experience. Mm-hmm. Or I did do one brew on premise at the old beer engine out in Bedford, or on Mayfield Road when they were out there. But other than that, I had no experience, and my interview was basically they lined up their beers and made me tell them what they were. And I knew the styles, and they were like, okay. And I started there and was scrubbing drains, cleaning kegs, and it went from there. Then they trained me on the job.
That's really cool. That's a cool style to kind of interview too. Is like, you know, here, we're going to give you unlabeled cups. You tell us what it is.
Right.
That tells you all you need to know. You don't even have to ask questions, really. It's like, okay, this is an IPA. No, that's a lager with raspberries or something, you know, like something weird, you know, like that. You're way off. So no, goodbye. But that's really cool, because that's something that I can taste the difference between a lager and an IPA, obviously. But getting into those different profiles and stuff, and you know, going into like, it's got notes of mango or that, I can't get there yet. I'm trying, and it's I don't know how to discern, I guess.
You just got to put something in your head when you're eating that thing, that you can identify with that. Like, it's corny, but there's one hop, and I can pick it out. Amarillo hops, I can pick out in any beer.
Right.
I'm a big fan of Amarillos.
I like Amarillo hops, too.
And when I drank them, like, this is years ago, I was like, oh, all right, tastes like Texas. And now when I taste them, I'm like, oh, that tastes like Texas. And it's just cool in my head. So I'm like, oh, yeah, that's Amarillo.
And was that part of kind of, you know, what got you, like, into this was the different profiles on things, tasting different things? And is that kind of been what helps you in that brewing process at the pilot system, is like working with different hops? Like, okay, let's just do one with all Amarillo this time. Not all, but
right.
You know, it gives you the little bit of play to kind of see what different things taste like.
Oh yeah. On the two barrel, it's fun. I mean, I do that over here on the seven barrel too. There's a lot of stuff like, you know, when a hop starts, it has a number, doesn't have a name.
Right.
And so they'll send us like a bag of samples and nothing about it, you know, and I'll just do a plain as can be, you know, single hop beer. Mm. So there's not a lot of malt behind it. You can really let that hop shine.
Yeah.
And you can see what it's going to do. And then, you know, when you're like trying to come up with a certain flavor profile, you can be like, well, I know I can get this from here and this from here, and you could sort of start playing with them, the blends and that on your own.
Yeah. What's been so far your favorite part about working at Great Lakes? You know, I hear everybody loves working here. There's, you know, you see everybody's happy, everybody loves it. What is it about this place beyond getting to do what you do that makes you come in every day?
I mean, the people are good, you know.
Yeah.
Most of them. No. You know, I mean, it's fun. It is fun. Even just, you know, even on a hard day, you know, you run into a buddy.
Right.
And you're, you know, you joke around for a minute and that's that. And
it almost doesn't feel like work.
Almost.
In a way.
Almost.
I mean, you're obviously working. But,
right.
You know, it kind of seems like, you know, just another kind of day.
Right.
Just with the guys.
Yeah.
Or with
hanging out.
Everybody. You know,
it sort of seems like it some days.
Some days are harder.
Right.
You know, there's no such thing as a typical day at a brewery.
Absolutely.
You guys have been doing a lot of great stuff, you know, for your 30th anniversary. Have you guys been putting anything new into the seven barrel or
on
the
here?
Barrel?
I've been
got a couple of new
got
things.
A couple things. Nice. You know, We've got a special beer coming out for our anniversary. Mm-hmm. That's getting packaged. They're actually, I think they might be brewing it today across the street. It started over here on the Seven Barrel. And then, you know, I do have a few things on tap right now. We did a stout with seaweed in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'd be interested to try it.
Oh, yeah. We can get one. Oh. Yeah. The owner, his cousin, it sent some. It's called Dillisk. Okay. It's from Ireland. And his cousin in Ireland sent him a few packages of it and said, I believe it was his mother used to chew on it, or is the owner's Pat and Dan's grandmother. It was either grandmother or mother. I should know this. But they would chew on it, and they said it would remind them of like the old country.
Oh, wow.
And, it was salty, you know, salty seaweed. And so we were thinking about what to do. So we just did, I did a dry Irish stout with that seaweed in it.
And oh, wow.
It's, you know, we probably should have used more, but it was a pilot system. Right. You know, we didn't know.
Find out when you make it.
Right. I never used this. And I even was saying, I had one of the brewers on the production side was like, are you sure you want to put this much in there? I'm like, just put it all in.
Yeah. Cause you know, the one thing you don't want is you don't want it to overpower anything.
Right.
So you'd rather, you know, edge it down a little bit, make sure. You can always add more. It's harder to take it out.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and that's the thing. I wish I would have added more. But I used everything we had.
You know,
we got mailed over. I mean, I still have the envelope from Ireland, you know, postmarked from Ireland that he's like, here you go.
It's got to be fun playing with fun, like, ingredients like that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You absolutely. Know, and that's the beauty of the pilot system, the two barrel, too, because we can, you know, a seaweed stout. We'll see how it sells over here.
Right.
But I doubt I'd really go through a seven barrels of that too quick.
Right. That's a specialty. I'm going to try it.
Right.
Probably not going to take a growler home of it.
Oh,
or there might
actually, you know what? It is really good.
I don't doubt it. Know? I mean, I have never had a bad beer from you guys.
Well,
so
thank you.
that was really never in question in my mind. It's whether just how different it is. Stuff like that really appeals to me. And that's what I love about this industry is just how different and how willing you guys are to experiment with everything and kind of play around and do all these fun things. What's kind of one of your favorite things to kind of play with in a beer outside of maybe the seaweed?
you know, it was for, it's always, it's not like there's one favorite thing, you know, I guess I get on kicks of what I want to do.
Okay.
My favorite thing are the experimental hops, the numbered hops.
Gotcha.
Like seeing what they can do. You know, I've got one right now that really cool. It gives off like cedar and lemongrass.
Okay.
So it's like, I got to figure out what type of beer am I putting this in?
Right.
And, you know, so I had some experimental, grains from, house malts off the road, the local maltsters, and that he wanted me to try that. And, so I was like, okay, what am I going to do? And I made a green tea ale.
Oh, nice.
With it. So that's in a fermenter. You can come downstairs with me. We can do some fermenter pulls.
Right, whatever. I'm not going to turn that down.
Right.
Cloud Cutter is one of the new ones that you came through your system as well. I've noticed a lot of people just been loving that beer. Just flying off the shelves, it seems. What was the inspiration behind doing that? And is it an ale? Is it like a hoppy wheat?
It's, you know,
how do you describe it?
I was putting it on when I was doing the test batches as a hoppy wheat ale. You know, it's not overly aggressive with bitter. You know, there are a lot of hops in there, but they're all in the back end more for flavor and aroma.
That's what I've been, you know, I tell people who've been wanting to try it because some of them aren't like IPA fans.
Right.
And I'm like, well, seriously, try this because it's not what you're thinking as far as when I say hops.
Right.
Like, you know, and it's trying to tell someone what like a hoppy lager tastes like. It's like it's a different type of hop. It's
right.
A Germanic hop versus this, so it's not giving you the dank. People hear that word hops, and it just in a way it has this.
They're scared.
Image
in
their head.
Yeah, they think IPA. They think bitter, crazy.
But this is a nice, light, crisp.
Right.
Clean.
Perfect for summer. Like
a lot of citrus
nice
on it.
Yes.
I love that beer.
A lot of orange peel, lemon peel. A lot of stuff goes in that.
Just
beer.
Inspired by summer coming up.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about doing something with a little, you know, a wheat ale of sorts, you know, and they gave me, I got some guidelines of what the sales team would like to see, and then, you know, I go from there, and then
absolutely.
Go crazy, and then it changes. I'm like, well, I'd like to do this, I'd like to do that. So I think we did, 3 to 5 different versions, and every time it was a tweak. There was just a tweak here and there. Small. Yeah, yeah. It was like, okay, this is really good, but I really think we should do this. Mm-hmm. And then it kept going and kept going. And by chance, somebody sent me a sample of a new company selling lemon peel and stuff, and I smelled it, and I was like, oh my God, these are awesome. And I'm like, these got to go in. Yeah. So
that's really cool. Anything else you want to get out before we get going?
No.
That I might have missed? I wanted to make sure. I think I hit everything.
I think so.
I appreciate your time, Steve. To follow Great Lakes, keep up to date on everything going on and all the beers that they have been brewing, follow them on Twitter at GLBC_Cleveland and find them on Facebook, Great Lakes Brewing Company. Steve, thank you so much for your time.
No problem.
Tune in next week for an all-new episode of the Taproom Exclusive.